So at Bosai, what I'd like to do today, the parsha that we read just 2 days ago, Parshas Vayera, and I want to discuss two different aspects, two different dimensions of Parshas Vayera. There's an amazing Medrash Chazal about the debate on high between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Malachi Ashores about Nesinas HaTorah. According to the Bavli in Peiches, Shabbos Peiches, the version that we're familiar with, Moshe Rabbeinu climbs up to receive the Torah, and the Malachim respond by crying out, Mal Yilud Isha Beinenu, what is this mortal man doing here amongst us? To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, Kidei LeKabel HaTorah. And the Malachim are not happy about this, to say the least. They describe the Torah as the Chemda Gnuza of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's infinite. It's the wisdom of Hashem. And it predates the creation of the world by thousands of years, etc., etc. And we have the Torah up here. And they quote the Pasuk in Tehillim, Ma'adir Shimcha, Tna Hodcha L'Shamayim, Yehod, your glory, which is the Torah, leave it up in Shamayim. It does not belong to man, Ma'ali Yiluda Isha Beinenu, flesh and blood, here today, gone tomorrow, and beset by all the difficulties, the challenges, the allurements, the lust, the Eitzahara, the Shibudim, we claim the Torah up in Shamayim. The Gemara goes through Shakla Vitaria, argument after argument. God turns to Moshe, says, you defeat the Malachim in this debate. And at the end of the argument, Moshe wins, and the Malachim concede defeat. The Torah will be given to man on earth. And this is the famous principle which is formulated by the Gemara in Bav Metzia called Lo Bashamayim Hi. You may recall that there's a great machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua about a certain tanur shalachnoi, a certain oven, which is pieced together, whether it's makabel tumah, it's not makabel tumah. And there's the vehement debate that breaks out. And at the end of the debate, Rabbi Elazar turns to Shamayim and he says, if I'm right, then min Shamayim yochichu, there should be a proof from heaven. And if Baskol, a heavenly voice, comes out and declares, halacha k'Rabbi Elazar b'chol makom. And Rabbi Yeshua stands up on his feet, and he says, "Ein mashgichim bebaskol. We don't pay attention to a baskol. Lo bashamayim hi. The Torah is not up in the heavens. Kfar nitna Torah. The Torah was already given through Moshe Rabbeinu down here." So, B'li Neder, maybe on another occasion, we'll discuss that Gemara at great length. What was the argument of Malachim? What were the counter arguments of Moshe? But what I want to discuss with you in relation to Parshas Vayera is another version of this debate, which has it that Moshe Rabbeinu could not defeat the Malachim. And at that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu steps in and he changes the klaster panav, the facial countenance of Moshe, to look like that of Avram Avinu. So in effect, it's no longer Moshe Rabbeinu who's standing up in heaven debating with the Malachim. It is now Avram Avinu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to the Malachim and says to them, you're arguing against Avram? Iyatem is baishim imenu? Aren't you embarrassed? Hare yoradetem v'achaltem mishulchano. You came down from the heavens and you ate from his table. And at that point, the Malachim concede defeat not to Moshe Rabbeinu, but to Avram Avinu. And the question is obvious. If there is a fundamental debate here between the Malachim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or Moshe Rabbeinu, over the very essential Torah, where does it belong? Up in the Shamayim, in the spiritual realms of infinity, or down here on earth? Why would the fact that the Malachim ate from Avram's table be the machria, be the final decisive point, such that the Malachim concede defeat? And the answer, I believe, lies in the Arizal, 5 centuries ago, in the city of Tzfat, who interprets the pasuk that we recite every morning, a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, the Ata Mechaya Eskulam, that every physical being, every entity that exists in this world, it is a result of the Ata of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's spiritual, he calls them the Tzotzos, that keep existence and perpetuate the being of every single enterprise. There is a spiritual element that is hidden in every physical object. Mechadish b'choyom tamid. God created the world ex nihilo yesh mi'ayin. But why doesn't the universe revert back to ayin? And the answer is because there's a vi'ata, a godliness that's mechayas kulam, that gives life to every entity. But the Arizal goes one step further. And based on the pasuk in Yeshayo Anavi, kol asher barasi lichvodi barasi, and the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that God created the world for his glory. How do we reveal the glory of Hashem, says the Arizal? By exposing the vi'ata in every single object. By exposing the vi'ata in every experience, in every encounter, to reveal the godliness, the divinity. And the Gemara tells us at the end of Yuma that there's only one food that the Malachim could eat. When I was a kid, I don't know if anybody remembers this, they used to have angel food cake. Do you remember that? And there's only one angel food cake, and that's man. Man is a physical object that's spiritual. The divinity within it is so overwhelming and so revealed that even the Malachim could eat man. And the Gemara tells us that Bizchus Lushi Vasi Ugos Zachu Yisrael Li Man Arboim Shana Bamidbar. What is the connection between Lushi Vasi Ugos and the man? And the answer is, based on the Arizal, how are the Malachim capable and able to eat from the ugos, the cookies of Sarah? And the answer is because those were angel food cookies. They were man. Because Sarah Imenu was able to expose and reveal the vi'ata, the godliness. And that's the afia, lushi v'afi ugos, asi ugos, the very process of lisha, of kneading the dough, kneading with a capital K before the N. She kneads the dough for the purpose of the great mitzvah of Hachnasas Archim. And by doing so, she reveals the glory of God. She injects into those ugos a new spiritual element and transforms them from something that's purely physical, that conceals godliness, to something that is spiritual and reveals divinity, such that now the Malachim can partake of that meal. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Malachim, you want to claim the Torah up in the heavens. Are you capable of entering into the physical universe and take that world and uplift it and transform it to something spiritual, to take ugos and make them into man? Oh, no, 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 no. Concede defeat because you ate at the table of Avram Avinu. And if you were able to eat at the table of Avram Avinu, it means that Avram and Sarah, with their great kavanos, were able to transform that food, those ugos, into man. And that's the essence of the Torah. And that's our challenge. We have to follow in the footsteps of Avram and Sarah Imenu, who formed Klal Yisrael, and live up to this glorious challenge of the Ata Mechayes Kulam. The table is not just four legs holding up a flat piece of wood with all its carbon and other chemical atoms and so forth. There is a divinity. There is a godliness. We thank Hashem for everything because it's all in existence because you, God, breathe existence into every being, Mechadish B'chol Yom Tomid. And if we can reveal that godliness and that divinity in every physical being, then we justify the fact that the Torah was given to us, to physical mortal man. We can uplift the universe and make it into something spiritual and divine, something ruchani and not just gashmi, something that reveals the glory of Hashem, the Kvod Shamayim. And in doing so, we bring that decision and support it and justify it, that the Torah should be given down in this earth. Yiratzon, may it be his will that we could fulfill that great challenge and uplift the entire world and all our experiences and our encounters to the level of man, of lechem, shamalachim, nenem imenem. And finally,
where did you want to talk in it?
I hear something.
Where did you see this? It's beautiful.
You can see a lot of this in a sefer called Asufas Marochos, quoting the Arizal, for the Ushpizin of the first night of Sukkot, when we invite Avram into the Sukkah. Are you familiar with that sefer, Asufas Marochos? If not, I'll send you, you know, send me your email address and I'll email you the essay. I want to add another point about Parshas Vayera, skipping, fast forwarding from the beginning of the Parsha to the very end of the Parsha. How does the Parsha end? I don't have a chumash in front of me this minute, but who remembers the end of the Parsha? It's a sugya, it's a parsha of about five psukim, four or five psukim. Anybody remember?
Avram marries a woman. Anama.
Yeah, it's about the brother, Nachar, who marries Malka, and they have children, es utz, ves buz, ves kesed, ves lemon. I can't even break my teeth over the names there. And in a certain sense, that parsha is anticlimactic. You know, we've reached this very high level of ata yadati ki yirei Elokim ata. According to many, the Akedah was the greatest and most profound challenge of all the Eser Nisyonos. And immediately, without taking even a breath of air, the Torah ends this episode with a story about Nachar and all the other idol worshippers and the names of their children and grandchildren, like, if you pardon the expression, who cares?
He at least leaves a parsha p'tucha.
Oh, that's interesting. Rashi gives an answer, and it's good to see you today. I didn't know how you were here. That's the advantage of coming face to face. But again, Hageffen is a long trip from Zayit. Anyway,
I would have been 10 minutes later if I came.
Okay. So the interesting thing is that Rashi says, if you take a look, Kideli Yachais es Rivka, as if to say, this is my own reformulation of Rashi, the entire parsha is only coming for those last few words of Besuel Yadol es Rivka. We have to know about Rivka. Who is her Yichus? And once again, I have to tell you, I find this very banal, very anticlimactic. I mean, it's very nice that I want to know who Rivka came from, but the truth is that with all due respect to Yichus, I think your wife and my wife have better Yichus than Rivka. But the entire parsha there, with all the names and the children and the grandchildren, all because Liyaches is Rivka. So my father, may rest in peace, told me in the name of Rav Soloveitchik the following. Rav Soloveitchik, you know, Shivim Panim LaTorah, without rejecting Rashi, offered an entirely different approach to the purpose of this last parsha. Leave out Rivka for the time being. Od Yesh Lomar. And he said the following. I don't understand, according to Rashi, why is it the Minog Bechol Tfutzis Yisrael that on Rosh Hashanah, day two, we read the Akedah and we read those last few psukim. Howie, how many are there at the end? The five psukim, four?
One, two, three, four, five psukim.
Five psukim. We read the Akedah on Rosh Hashanah so that the schus of the Akedah on the day of judgment should stand us firm, and Hashem should have rachmanus and chesed on Klal Yisrael. But what does that have to do with those five psukim? Why do we read that on Rosh Hashanah? And the Rav said, you might argue that we need five kruim, because every yontif needs five aliyos. And he proves that if you go through the parsha, you will see that you could have five kruim even without that last part. Why did they attach it to the kriya of Rosh Hashanah? And his mathematical conclusion was that those five psukim are a part and parcel of the Akedah. They are not a separate element in the equation. And he even went as far as to say this is the crescendo of the challenge that Avram Avinu faces. And he dramatized it. Avram Avinu comes down the mountain after the most trying experience. He waited a century for a son, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to bring up the son and shecht him on the Akedah as a karmon. And Avram, after this climax, comes down from the mountain, and they hand him, this is my language, the local rag. Does a frat have a local rag? I don't know. You know what I mean by rag. You know, these little newspapers. I have a friend who's in the business in, he lives in the five towns, and he sells this rag because people advertise in it. Anyway, he reads in the local newspaper that Nachar is having a blast. They're making one bris after the other, one bar mitzvah after the other, one chassid after the other. They're doing hukla, like the cousins here across the street who don't let me sleep at night here. And what's going on? There are a bunch of idol worshippers. They're a bunch of nothings, nobodies, Utz and Boots and Kemet and Lemet. I can't even pronounce the names. I break my teeth. Who are they? And they're living on cloud nine, enjoying the benefits of life, having children upon children and children upon grandchildren with no end in sight. And Avram Avinu, the knight of faith, who's willing to be Moser Nafsho on Emuna. He has one child from Sarah. And Hashem says, I want him on the Akedah. And what does Avram say? Absolutely nothing. He is silent. He accepts the question of questions. Sheilat ha-sheilot. How is it that we, the people of Hashem, Sheshem Hashem Nikra Aleinu, who are willing to be Moser Nefesh, you know, the halacha is in Kiddush Hashem, that if it's Befarhes, you have to give up your life on anything, any mitzvah kala. And the suffering of Klal Yisrael, I don't have to go through Jewish history. And Yenim? My father told me that when he heard this from Rav Soloveitchik, he immediately thought of Switzerland. Have you gentlemen ever been to Switzerland? The cows in Switzerland are beautiful. The cows. Switzerland is, again, I don't think I'd be an apikoris for telling you it's probably the most beautiful country on the face of the earth. Okay, you can argue with me, you know. If you've been out to the West, you know, in America, maybe the Canadian Rockies is machlokas, which is nicer, the Canadian Rockies or the American Rockies, whatever it is. It's a teku. The Swiss mark is doing very well. Switzerland is one of the most popular tourist sites in the world. Farms, mountains, the Alps. And during World War II, they declared neutrality. We're neutral. We're not going to take a stand. In Hebrew, we say, Almei Menuchot. They live calm, no problems. They don't lose any sleep at night. They're not worried about persecution, about terrorism. Just last week, we commemorated the yahrzeit of the three boys who were brutally murdered from the Gush Etzion, from Tzomet HaGush. They don't suffer from that. What, the Swiss are worried about a terrorist? And yet, Almei Menuchos. What's the logic behind it? The heart cries out. But Avraham Avinu, as we said before, is the paradigm of emuna, of faith. These are questions, we don't know the answers, we'll probably never know the answers. Who could explain the Holocaust? And you could say, you know, in theodicy, I'll give you 15 books to read about it, but it's garnish mit garnish. Don't bother reading it. We'll never know the answers. You could live with the nightmares that the Jewish people have lived through over the course of history and always wonder, why do the idol worshippers live al mei menuchot? And on Rosh Hashanah, when we read the Akedah, we complete the Kriya with that crescendo of Avram's Emunah. And every day, for those who have the minhag of reading the Akedah, think about this idea, and hopefully, B'ezer Hashem, with God's Rachmanus and Chesed, he will remember the Zchus of Avram. We will follow in the footsteps, the legacy of Avram Avinu, Kein Yi Ratzon, Amen. Okay, that's for Parshas Vayera.